Welcome to Hope is Alive. Yes, hope is alive in our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he said so. Jesus said in Luke, and he said unto them, I beheld Satan falling as lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you. Nevertheless, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Did you hear that? The spirits are subject to you, and you've been given all power over them. Now in Matthew 10, he was speaking to his disciples, and he said, as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely received, freely give. And then in Mark, he said unto them, go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to the whole creation. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieveth shall be condemned. And these signs shall accompany them that believe. In my name shall they cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall in no wise hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Join us as we celebrate these verses given to us in God's holy word. Tonight we have a live interview with Mr. Everett Cox of Deliverance Ministries in Oklahoma City. We'll hear some more of his story and give you a chance to call in and ask questions concerning deliverance and setting the captives free. If you have a question about the issue of demons or evil spirits, then this is the time to call and ask. Join us because hope is alive in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Good evening and welcome to Hope is Alive. Good evening, Brother Ralph.
Good evening, brothers.
And good evening, Pastor Cox.
Good evening, Brother Richard, Brother Ralph. Blessings again from Oklahoma City.
And looking forward to the broadcast tonight. And I know you got a couple callers, and I've got their names here. So when they give a call in, I'll let you know they're on the air. And we'll turn it over to you, men.
All right, thank you, sir. Appreciate it. And here we are again on Wednesday night. We thank you for joining us. The Hope is Alive, that show which is about testimony. And what is that testimony? That testimony is those that were set free from the bondage that held them, from demonic spirits, from the bondage of sicknesses and infirmities, the bondage from aches and pains, the bondage of addictions, all the bondages that were brought on by the enemy, sometimes through our sins. But they were all set free by the power of the Holy Spirit and the blood of Jesus Christ. And we do give thanks to Jesus for that. If you have any questions about deliverance, feel free to go to deliveranceusa.com. It is a wealth of information available there. We talk about it each week, but go to it. It's all there, free of charge, click of the mouse. Remember those that put it together in your prayers, your tithes, your offerings, because even though it's free of charge, doesn't mean that they put it up for free or they don't get charged, but remember that. Or if you need the book, Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus, you can obtain that by calling Richard at the office, 307-742-7582, and he will certainly get that out to you. I believe we ask a $20 offering for that. Pastor, good evening. It is a wonderful, beautiful day in the Ozarks.
Amen. And the same in Oklahoma, Ralph. We've had a nice day here, and looking forward to the thunderstorm coming in. We've got a line of thunderstorms about 40 miles west of us, so it may come in through the when we're on the show. But yep. Praise God!
Well, we get them tomorrow.
Amen.
Well, but yes. I'm sorry,
going
go ahead.
Going good here. We're aiming at June 1 right now to have our Monday meetings again at at our church on Monday evenings at the church that we rent. So we're believing. We've had to cancel it a couple of times, but I believe it's going to work this time. I just kind of feel it. It looks like it is, I believe. I did talk to the man yesterday that it was a cancer case. In fact, he came the last meeting we had on a Monday night. A couple of his friends brought him, and I noticed during the teaching and even into the door closing prayer, he was holding the left side of his head. And I had scheduled to work with him, and sure enough, we got into ministry and got the head demon up, and it went really well. And his pain left in the head as we cast everything out, and it's still gone. I call him about every week or two to see how he's doing. He was supposed to die at level 4, supposed to die by June. Well, here we are, and he sounded good on the phone yesterday. He'll be having another MRI, he said, soon, so we'll see what the results in. But he seems to be doing just fine.
Well, praise the Lord. You know, I think often about doctors who will throw those dates out and how they could be well-meaning. They could just be acting out of ignorance. There could be some that are just wicked and don't care. But when they start giving dates out like that, they're speaking curses on people because no one knows the date except God. And, you know, when you hear those dates, if you're out there and you get infirmities or, you know, doctors don't know for sure. They could diagnose and say, well, we believe you have such and such, this and this. And from our experience, you know, this is what's happened. But I remember being down in Florida with my mom, and we were visiting some friends of mine from high school, and one of them is a doctor. And my mom had some what looked like skin cancer on her head, and she was trusting the Lord to heal it. She was using natural things with red light therapy and different different creams. And I remember Jason's his name. He looked at it, and he said, well, you got to have my brother Adam, which is his twin brother, who's a dermatologist, go down and cut that out. And she said, no, I'll just keep working on working it. And he says to her, well, you'll be dead in a year. Well, that was in 2015. And guess what? My mom is not dead, and she doesn't have any remnant skin cancer anymore. But when we after he said that, I told my mom. I said, Mom, we're gonna rebuke those words. We're gonna rebuke that curse he spoke on you, and we're gonna forgive him. And I talked to him later about it. I said, you got to be careful what you say to people like that. Those careless words. I said, because you're a doctor. People look to you. You're a position of authority. You could speak it to someone to the point where they could believe it. And I said, you have no idea if who's going to be dead in a year, who's not. Only the Lord knows that time. And I thought he seemed to receive at the time. Now, whether or not he's practicing, I don't know. But, you know, the doctors don't know. They can only make educated guesses and go. And even then, a lot of times they're wrong because they don't always believe in the healing power of Jesus Christ.
Yes. We call them medical curses. Doctors, of course, they have to tell it, but nevertheless, since the word goes forth from a person's mouth, and we tend to get what we say, and of course those can be curses themselves, that the demonic and the spirits of sickness and infirmity operate off of many times. And that's why we need to be cautious and be sure those are broken, because most people that have had it, have illnesses and been to doctors, they've got some medical curses on them. So it's our job to break them off, since we have all power in Jesus' name and wish to do it. And of course, other people, even the person themselves, might go around saying, well, I have such and such. Well, that'd be a self-spoken curse. And the enemy can feed off that and gives them a legal right to stay. It's kind of complicated in a way, but still, we have all this power to break the curses. If we'll just use it, we can expect the miracles.
Yes, we can. I was talking to a customer today. Praise the Lord, I was able to get back to work this week. And we were talking about carpal tunnel, which is really prevalent in hairstylists because of the repetitive motion. And one of the girls said something, and she called it my. And I said, you need to be careful what you say there. She goes, what? And I talked to her a little bit about it, and she received it. Most people do when I tell them to do that. So when you call something my, I said, you're claiming it, and you're not likely to ever get rid of it.
Yes. I hate hearing people say that.
Yeah.
My so-and-so. Well, it's not your so-and-so, whatever that infirmity is.
That's right.
Well, we're
That's
all
right.
learning.
Yeah. Because Jesus Christ still heals. That's what I was telling someone today. We were talking about, of course, you know, when you come in, you see the customers the first time in several months, what's the normal question, how'd you survive, how you doing, this and that. And it's just a wonderful time to witness. It really is a wonderful time to witness. And I just told them, look, I'm not scared of what's going on right now. Psalms 91:10 says the promise that the plague shall not enter my tent. And I said, and if for some chance I get a flu virus, I said, Jesus Christ has never, ever failed me. Never. I said, I have been healed from things a lot more serious than that. I have seen healings from things that more serious than that. And we can stand upon that promise that by his stripes I am healed and command a healing upon us. And I had one of my customers say, well, do you think that's actually in the physical and not just the healing because we die and go to heaven? I don't know where she got that teaching from. And I said, no, ma'am, no. I said, you look right there. You read the scriptures. He's scourged for us. By his stripes we're healed. Christians are commanded to lay hands on the sick, and they shall be healed. The book of James talks about doing that. It's talked about in the Great Commission. So we have a job out there, Pastor, to inform people. I mean, if they can't get past that by his stripes I'm healed, it's going to be really hard for them to understand that we can cast out a demon.
Well, it's such a good deal. He took our sin, and most people will accept that, but he also clearly took our sickness. 1 Peter 2:24 is where we're healed, but he took our infirmities in Matthew 8:17. And, it's a better deal than not.
It is, and there's not much of a deductible, is there?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, the deductible is good. I like the premium, too. And the deductible is fantastic. So, well, we kind of got on a different subject there, Pastor. Before our callers come on, do you have any other testimonies for this week to deliverance?
Well, I have a deliverance scheduled Tuesday. There's a constant flow. Richard is feeding them out to the different ministers that have expressed an interest in doing them. We've had some all through the years that have done them by phone or Skype or nowadays Zoom. Zoom is pretty easy to work, and I certainly like the way they've got it set up. So we'll just keep at it. The steady flow, even though a lot of people, it seems like, have hunkered down, and it's like they've withdrawn somewhat with all this virus going on, and it's like they're not doing anything, you know. And it's a great time to do ministry because a lot of people are just at home, you know.
Yes. And we're being bombarded we're being bombarded constantly with fear. I heard a pastor talk about the other day that he was talking about when Goliath came out to against Israel for 40 days. He sat there and bombarded them with propaganda, and he compared it to what's on TV. We're all going to die. We're all going to die if we don't stay home. We're all going to die. And so there's a certain amount of fear. That was the type of fear, spiritual battle that was coming. And we have to take our thoughts captive, obedience to Jesus, and rebuke those things. and exercise in our positive IMs. And it's a great time to witness that as you get out and you talk to people and you see them and they're operating in fear. Let them know about those IMs. Let them know there's spiritual muscles in there. And, Pastor, we have Richard with us. Richard, glad to hear from you.
Hello. Now, this is Richard Peterson.
Hi, Richard. I'm glad you called in, Richard. And Ralph's on here with me. And why don't you go ahead and give the history on yourself and when you were born again and how you learned about deliverance. And I know that goes quite a few years back. And your deliverance went and the changes you've seen and then the experiences, which you've had many, I know. Richard, go ahead.
Well, there's been quite a rich history. I grew up in the Lutheran church, and so my parents were Lutherans, but in 1963, I was born again, actually, in the Church of Christ, and really wrestled with a lot of things during the years, and during that period of time, I was very good at playing the French horn in junior high and high school, and ended up being one of the best in the state of Colorado as far as playing the French horn, and ended up going to Weber State College in Ogden, Utah, amongst the Mormons, which really challenged my faith. The Lord kept dealing with me since 1963. I graduated from high school in 1968. I had a full scholarship, music scholarship, to Weber State College, as well as five other colleges in Colorado. But God just wouldn't let me alone. And so I ended up in Oklahoma. And in 1972, had an opportunity to go to a meeting with Derek Prince. And he was talking about deliverance. And so for 4 nights in a row at Christian Center here in Oklahoma City, he was talking about deliverance, and then on Friday night ministered to deliverance to a group of about 1,000 in the auditorium. And so it was kind of a revolutionary experience for me. From that time forward, we began ministering deliverance one-on-one. And I remember one occasion when a seventh-degree Jewish witch came into my office at Christian Center, and she had lots of questions, and the Holy Spirit just gave me a lot of answers for her. And that's one of the wonderful things about the Holy Spirit, is he gives us insights into the realities of life, and so we experienced deliverance, ministered deliverance, and was actually filled with the Spirit in 1970 under a Presbyterian ministry in Denver, Colorado, and then was supernaturally healed of many problems, including the fact that I'd fallen out of a tree about 50 feet in Colorado in 1960. I had gone to a chiropractor once a week for 10 years, and God supernaturally healed me with an interesting experience called the limb check. And so as he was speaking to my limbs, and I was seeing adjustments in my back and adjustments in my arms and my neck and my head and my legs, I was just totally different, and I have not had those same problems ever since. I had rheumatoid arthritis when I was 12, and I was supernaturally healed of rheumatoid arthritis, and so there were lots of issues that were healed at that experience, and so I've experienced supernatural healing, and I've experienced supernatural deliverance, and shortly after Derek Prince had come to Christian Center, we had an evangelist come, and my youth group went from about 200 to 1,000 in 5 days, because people were coming in off drugs and just out of the world, and it was part of the Jesus movement. It was just amazing to see what was happening. One of the guys that got saved during that period of time, he shared with me that all of his friends at John Marshall High School were dead because of drug overdoses. And so we ministered deliverance and healing to those, and we just had a supernatural time for a period. In 1977, I experienced a psychotic break as a result of rejection in the church, and was starting a totally new career in the real estate business, and that's when I learned that the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword, and I began declaring what the Word said about me every day, and became strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Went through lots of changes over the years and experienced the bust in the 80s and experienced the bust in 2008. And during that period of time, the Lord led us to come and spend some time with Everett, and I received some additional deliverance. I believe that deliverance is something, healing is something that is ongoing, and so it's not just a one-time thing. And with the traumas of life, we need to experience the goodness of God in the land of the living. And so after receiving deliverance, and my wife saw such fruit out of the ministry, that she came in for some ministry, and we began to get involved with deliverance ministries and started doing some ministry and then doing some training. And so over the years, we have ministered to a lot of folks, and I've really seen that my gifting in the body of Christ is really administrating the gifts of God in others and fanning into a flame the gifts of God in them. And so I've moved into more of an administrative role in encouraging our ministers to minister, and as well as training them and encouraging some of our newer ministers to share what they're experiencing, and that seems to have helped us to be able to grow and minister to more people on a weekly basis. And so our goal is to be able to set the captives free and to really make a difference. I would have to say that the latest experience this last week in talking with a woman in another state, she said that her husband was real resistant to deliverance and resistant to the gospel, and even though he was a church member and they went to a local church, she was just having lots of difficulties, and he was abusive. And it was most interesting that his eyes would actually turn black. And so I shared with her some of what Jim Waldrop had taught us about the fact that if it's caused by a demon, prayer doesn't work. Prayer doesn't make any difference because Jesus has done everything that he's going to do on the cross, and he's given us authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt us. So I shared that with her, and I shared that when he comes home every day, just begin to say, if what is going on him is caused by evil spirits, I command it to stop in Jesus' name, because she has authority in her home as helpmeet and as the wife in the home. She has a level of authority, and so she began to do that, and within 24 hours, she saw amazing results. His whole demeanor changed, and so it's really amazing how the attitudes and demeanor of individuals can be affected by evil spirits. They may be saved. They may have Jesus in their heart. They may have received Jesus Christ, and Jesus is resident in their spirit man. But in their soul, their mind, their will, their emotions, their memories, their imagination, many times people just don't take dominion, and they don't use the scriptures to cast down imaginations and every high thing that would exalt itself against the Most High God. They just let the devil run. And so the enemy cannot affect their spirit man, but it can affect their soul. And it can affect their physical body. And so recently I've read a book and ministered deliverance to myself, commanding evil spirits to leave my eyes. And so it's interesting that evil spirits can affect our eyes. Evil spirits can affect our breathing. Evil spirits can affect our lungs and our heart. I wonder if with COVID-19, if the worst effects on individuals' lungs, where the virus morphs and affects their immune system and is no longer affecting them as a virus, taking their breath away from them, and so people with lung diseases have very serious problems with COVID-19. And I think COVID-19 is a demonic assault on our nation and on the world. And I think that Christ in us is greater than the enemy is. This is a wonderful time for us to step back and to spend time with Jesus and to meditate and to spend time in the Word and to really tune in to the anointing of the Holy Spirit. But we as believers are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ our Lord. And I know that there have been three times since the middle of March that I have begun to experience some of the symptoms that go with COVID-19. And I said no. I spoke to the symptom, and I said, no, in Jesus' name, I command you to stop and go to the feet of Jesus. And within just a couple of minutes, it was gone. So I really believe that God has given us authority, and we just really have not known how to use that authority so that we can be more than conquerors through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
And so there's interesting processes. I think that there have been times that Everett has talked about people who, and I've seen individuals who, the evil spirits, when we're speaking to them and commanding them to go, they leave out their hands. They go out their arms and out their hands. And sometimes when it comes to men and women that are involved in pornography, those evil spirits leave out through their hands or leave out through their eyes. They can go out their ears. I remember one individual ministering that the evil spirits went out their feet. And so, the enemy attacks our physical body and he attacks our soul. He cannot attack our spirit man, our heart. We believe in our heart and we declare with our mouth that Jesus is the King, and our desire is to glorify Him and continue to declare that He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And our hearts is where we make all those decisions. Our spirit man, we need to strengthen our spirit man so that we can change the way that we think to be more biblical, change the way we feel so it's biblical, change the way that we dream so it's biblical, change the way that we imagine life to be and our choices in life. We can
choose, the
Word says, choose you this day whom you're going to serve, and that's what I want to do.
And a great job you are. How long have you been at Deliverance Ministries now, Richard?
I think it's been about 12 years.
Yeah, and what a blessing you've been to Deliverance Ministries. We've grown in all kinds of ways, and doing and the administrative work that Richard does is a fantastic help in the ministry and teaching. He and his wife teach on Monday nights. I teach one Monday out of the month, and they do three. So thanks again, Richard, for all that you've done. Richard is the executive minister of Deliverance Ministries, and he's the one that typically would be answering the phone when you call there at the office. God bless you, Richard. Thanks for sharing. All that was awesome, brother.
Yeah, thank you, Richard. Good to hear from you again.
Okay, God bless you.
God bless.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Annie blows a mighty good shofar.
Yes. Praise God. That's right. That shofar.
That's
that bridge. Get into that.
Yeah.
But, you know, he said he had such a good lift from all that music background. He blows
with
a shofar like nobody else.
Yeah, that French horn.
That pulls down the strongholds.
It does. Jim, thank you for joining us this evening.
You bet.
Good to hear from you.
Jim.
I can barely hear you. My sound is all the way up, but I barely can hear you.
Richard, there in the control room, maybe you could turn the gain up so Jim can hear us better. Hopefully that's improving. Is that getting any better, Jim?
I think so.
Okay.
Well, Jim, we can hear you just fine. We can hear you just fine.
Yes.
So don't worry about that. And just give us some testimony, brother.
Yeah, go ahead. Pardon? You've got the outline, so go right ahead, Richard. Get the history on yourself and all. I mean, Jim. Go ahead, Jim.
Okay, I did not grow up in church and got saved at about 18 years old and joined a full gospel church. And about 12 years ago, I joined Everett's team and was with Everett 11 and a half years. Then I moved out of state. And that was a real interesting 11 and a half years. We saw a lot of people delivered from things like fear, stress, anxiety, self-hatred, unforgiveness, et cetera, et cetera. And it's just, it's a blessing to be involved and seeing people set free. And we've seen a lot of that.
Why don't you share how you first heard about deliverance and how you got into it?
I really got into following Norval Hayes about 30 years ago. And I followed him real close for years and years. And then ended up back in 2007 doing a deliverance session in my office conference room, and I didn't really have all the tools to do that with, and so it was the next week that I called Everett, and Everett told me that he said show up at 10th and Robinson Monday at 5:30, which I did and was there for 11 and a half years. And I've sat under Everett's ministry, and I've learned though in deliverance that deliverance is an ongoing process in the life of a believer. You know, I've never met anybody that just lived a perfect life and without any issues, and you know, that was Jesus. That's not us. And so, and you know, the Bible teaches self-deliverance. So once we set in a deliverance session and we get freed up, then it's up to us to keep the doors closed, and as we know, and to keep the issues down, and you know, repeated sin. And neglecting 1 John 1:9 is inviting the demonic into our lives. It's like water and wet. If you have one, you have the other. And so Jesus taught self-deliverance. He said, cast the beam out of your own eye, and then you shall see clearly to cast the mote out of your brother's eye, Matthew 7:5. And so after we're freed up, we can do self-deliverance. And that's a big help. And I think it's just an ongoing process for Christians. If we had it all together and lived a perfect life without sin, that would be real unusual, wouldn't it?
Yes, for sure.
That would be real unusual. Jesus did that, but I don't think we can do that. That's what 1 John 1:9 is for. that says that if we confess our sins, that he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins, and as a bonus, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we praise God for that scripture. Amen.
Well, James,
I've had some real interesting deliverance cases. I had a lady that came in. She was mid-30s, and she had a job with one of the cities, not Oklahoma City, but one of the surrounding towns. She worked in the DA's office. So I'm saying that because she was a sharp lady, is what I'm saying. And she was married, and she and her husband had a baby. And this is back several years ago. And she and her husband had been following that Casey Anthony case down in Florida years ago, where she was accused and I think convicted of killing her own child. And so she and her husband were following this case closely, and they were sitting in a restaurant, and when the verdict came down, and so this lady turned to her husband and she said, "I don't know how anyone could kill their own child." And she said, and I heard a voice, and it said, "Oh, you could do that." And she said, over the next few weeks, the voice got stronger and stronger, and she became fearful about it because she loved her child. She didn't want to kill her child. And she said she would be in the kitchen preparing supper, and the urge would be for her to take a butcher knife to her baby. And her husband worked swing shift, and she was afraid to go home at night, afraid what she would do with her baby. And, you know, the Lord set her free from that demonic entity that was trying to get her to kill her baby. Isn't that amazing?
Praise God.
Because the psychiatrist would deal with that the rest of her natural life. And Jesus set her free in two or three ministry sessions. And so we praise God for that. And we've seen a lot of unusual cases like that over the years with Everett. So.
Yes. And I remember there was a time, Jim, when you were just about to get into this, that you didn't think Christians could have demons. Expand on that a little bit.
Yeah, that was what the denomination that I was a member of taught, that once a person is saved, they can't have any more demonic problems once a person's saved, because once they're saved, the demons leave. So they just, to them, it's heresy.
Uh-huh.
And they believe that today. And, you know, Jesus says over in Mark 16:17, "And these signs shall follow them that believe in my name, shall they cast out devils." Well, he wasn't talking about necessarily casting devils out of sinners, because the answer to a sinner that was demonized would be get saved, if that was the case. But we've just seen it over and over and over. And we've had, interestingly, I have ministered to four or five pastors that are from that denomination, but they can't teach it or preach it from the pulpit. In fact, I had one pastor that came over from Arkansas for ministry. Got up in the morning and drove over and went through ministry. In the middle of the ministry session, he said, "Jim, I didn't know anything like this existed." He said, "Everyone in my church needs this." I said, "I know." And he drove back that night. But he can't have someone in his church that teaches that because of what the denomination says. Christians can't have demons.
And
well,
he loses his job.
You know, there's always been the question, can a Christian have a demon? And the answer to that is this. Church members can. Church members can. We deal with them all the time.
Yeah.
So.
Well, that's one of the things.
That denomination still believes that, and but a lot of their pastors don't, because they come from ministry. Amazingly.
Yes.
Amazingly.
What, Jim, one of the early experiences you had, I remember you telling me, was I think it was a Baptist from Texas that had come up, and you were visiting, and he manifested. And that was first thing was puzzling. You knew he was a Christian. How could, it was obvious he had demons manifesting in him. You might share that one real quick.
He was not only a Christian. He had taught in a Baptist Bible school. And he and I were on a project down in Florida together, and I took him to a church that was a full gospel church that believed in deliverance, and the pastor, who was a lady, cast a demon out of a person while we were there, and this guy was just terrified. And as we left there, he said, "Jim, I want to ask you a question. Can a Christian be demon possessed?" And I said, "No." And he said, "Well, I've got two dark areas in my life." And I said, "Do you want to talk about it?" He said, "No." Months later, he lived in Houston, and I'm in Oklahoma City. Months later, he called me, and he was on his way up for ministry. And so, he checked in the hotel. I call him the scribe because he took notes. He and his scribe checked in the hotel there in Norman. And they came over to the house, and we were going to minister the next morning in my conference room. And his name's Jerry, and I said, as we were talking, he said, "Jim, I did not come up here from Houston with any expectations." I said, "I've got an expectation, Jerry. Jesus is going to set you free. Do you believe that?" And he kind of, yeah. So the next morning, I picked him up at the hotel, and his scribe followed us in his car over to the office, and I called Jack Freeman. He came over to help, and I had really, really didn't have much knowledge about deliverance at that time. Still don't have a lot of knowledge, but I'm gaining on it. So during this deliverance session, he crawled over there to me. And I'd known this guy for 15 years. He said, "Who are you?" I said, "Well, I'm a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ." And then he crawled over to Jack, and he said, "Who are you?" By then, the gift of faith had dropped on Jack, and he said, "I'm the Son of God." I thought, "Well, you trump me. I'm just a servant." And anyway, he got totally free that day in about a two-hour ministry session. They drove back to Houston. He called me the next week, and he said, "I woke up several times that night laughing, full of joy." He said, "I had to go sleep on the sofa so I wouldn't wake my wife up." And he was just elated because he got free, as he should have been. You know, there was a real interesting case, Everett. Several years ago, a 49-year-old man came in on a Monday night. And he came in because his marriage was in the toilet. And during the interview, he told me, he said, "I have asthma." And he said, "I've had it since I was a kid, and I take two treatments a day. And I told my wife, I will die of asthma. My lungs will fill up and I'll die." And he said, "I've been taking two treatments a day for over 20 years at the cost of $200 a month." And so I just kind of put that on the back shelf because asthma is nearly always the enemy. Now, I'm going to say always, but I'll just say nearly always the enemy. And I knew that. And so we dealt with this marriage situation, and I said to him, I said, "Now, are you ready to deal with the asthma?" And he said, "Yes." And I said, "Asthma, I break your power. I command you to come out in Jesus' name." And this guy started laughing at me. And I said, "What are you laughing about?" And he had this strange, bewildered look on his face, and he pointed at his throat, and he said, "It's not me laughing, it's him." And he was delivered from asthma that night. And I saw him later, years later. I knew the guy, and I saw him years later, he and his wife, in a restaurant. He had never taken another asthma treatment, and he had never had an asthmatic attack. Jesus just set him free from asthma. But asthma has to be cast out. There's several diseases that have to be cast out that can't be cured. Asthma, scoliosis, sciatica, epilepsy, just for an example. Those things have to be cast out. They can't be healed. And I had two granddaughters with asthma, but they don't have it anymore. So we cast out asthma. And he was totally set free that night. And just FYI, on another note, you know, these poor mothers set up with their babies who have colic. That's an inherited spirit of fear from the mother. And if you just cast that out, the baby will go right to sleep. The baby with colic. How many hours have mothers set up rocking colicky babies? But that can be cast out. That's an inherited spirit of fear from the mother.
Look how many people are under that bondage, Jim. How many are under
the bondage, you say?
Yeah, like the mother with the child. And if more people knew who they were in Jesus and about deliverance, the bulk of the Christian body, certainly here in America, is so lacking with knowledge on this, they just suffer.
Well, that's true. And, you know, the pastors are lacking with this, with the knowledge. And so what can the congregation do? The pastors don't know either.
Yes.
They just don't know. They haven't been taught. And it's just, and if you don't know, you don't know. You know this, can I tell one more quick one? Have we got time?
Well, sure. Absolutely. We got a few more minutes. Go ahead.
All right, I'll try to abbreviate this. There was a lady that lived in my neighborhood, and she would get out and run all the time, and she was getting real skinny. And I told my wife, I said, she has a spirit of drivenness, because she and her husband would go to the gym and work out, and then she would come and run and run and run. And about 3 months later, her husband asked me to minister to her, and she was delivered from the spirit of drivenness, the spirit of fear, and the spirit of asthma, totally delivered. And she told me later, she said, I would go to the gym and work out, and I'd be tired when I got home, but I would feel compelled to get out and run, because I heard this voice that said, if you don't run and keep yourself thin and skinny, you're going to die and leave your kids orphans, just like your mama died when you were 4 years old.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing?
That's like an anorexic spirit, too. I've seen many suffer from anorexia nervosa and bulimia. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, praise God. At least we're telling it. Those are, you know, when people hear examples of that, that, of course, builds faith, but also further educates on what they could be doing in Jesus' name. We have a couple of more minutes. Anyone else, anything else you want to share before we wind up?
This lady that I was talking about, her asthma came back in about a year, and she couldn't figure out why. And so, the Lord led her to a video in India where they cut people's hair, or they shave women's head, and they sell the hair in bulk to America and to England. And they make hair extensions. And these hair extensions are a curse, because they're dedicated to a demon god of the temple, the Hindu temple. And she had hair extensions. And when she took the hair extensions out without prayer, the asthma left again. That's just a good lesson for women with hair extensions. You know, hair extensions from Canada is probably fine, but from India, I wouldn't do that.
You can get on
YouTube and put Indian temple hair extensions, and it'll show you shaving. It'll show them shaving women's heads, and they go in there and dedicate their hair to the demon god, so they'll have better crops, and so their kids will be healthy, et cetera, et cetera.
Yes,
that's a new thought.
There's many things. Well, yes, and many things are dedicated to Satan in all kinds of things that are built and may have a curse on them, especially coming from those other countries. Well, Jim, we are out of time finally. Thank you so much, brother. That was really interesting. Thank you for all that you did, all those 11 and a half years of Deliverance Ministries and all the people you've touched here in Oklahoma. God bless you, brother.
All right. Thank you, Everett. Good night.
Thanks, Jim. Okay, bye-bye.
I know we could let Jim go on for a couple of nights. He's got so many testimonies he's told me over the years, and has just a wealth of information. The Lord has definitely anointed him in so many areas. He's who taught us to perish the thought, if I remember right.
Yes,
and that is a powerful, powerful tool. I don't remember where he heard it from, but whoever taught it to him, he grasped it, took hold of it. And he gave a great testimony of his, of commanding things with his daughter, or his daughter-in-law is a school teacher, would use that in their classrooms. So, Jim has really, really been a mighty lawyer and servant of the Lord. And one thing that I took out from his testimony is he said, well, I didn't know much about deliverance then. But he understood speaking and performing the word.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the authority that we have. He understood he had authority, understood that his power comes from a higher power. Our big brother can beat up your big brother and that type of thing.
Yeah.
So you don't have to be trained, but it surely helps. It makes things easier. That's what's great about Deliverance Ministries. They've got a system that's set down. Take advantage of it. Anybody could grab a hammer and nail and go build a house, but it sure'd be a lot easier if they were trained in how to do it. So if you want some more of that training or need that training, deliveranceusa.com is there for you to use. Take advantage of it. Or you can get the book written by Pastor Cox, Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus. Now, you can obtain that by calling Richard at the office at 307-742-7582. And he'll certainly get that out to you. But those are tools in our arsenal. They help lay out the scriptures. They've got the testimonies. And we've talked about testimony and the witnesses of what we've had the past couple weeks and how that establishes a matter. It's a matter of fact. When we decree and declare the word, we are declaring testimony that's laid down. And there's three that bear witness in Scripture, the blood, water, and spirit, so we know it's true. And I thank everybody for joining us this evening. Pastor, as always, glad to have you with us. And we say join us next week. Next Wednesday we'll be here, and God bless. Have a good evening, everybody.
Blessings to everyone.
Luke chapter 10, verse 19.
I have given you authority to